You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name is Gavin Berry, and I'm delighted to say I'm once again joined by the Sunday Mail's chief football writer, Scott McDermott. Scott, it's the morning after. Good morning, first of all.
Hi, Gav.
How are you?
Aye, not bad. Yourself?
Good, good. So it's the morning after Hearts 0, Rangers 1. The performance, Scott, was probably, well, not probably about it. It was more dominant than the 1-0 scoreline suggests. Abdallah Sima, only goal in the first half, 12 now for the season. How important, first of all, or how impressed have you been with the reaction since that draw against Limassol? That was St Mirren on Sunday and then Hearts on Wednesday night. How impressed have you been with the reaction? Because there was obviously a lot of criticism followed that Limassol result or performance.
Yeah, I think the reaction's been decent, Gav. I mean, I don't think you should expect any less from a Rangers team after a couple of draws against Aberdeen and then in Europe. Has it been scintillating stuff? I don't think so. I think they did okay on Sunday against St Mirren without being brilliant. Last night was probably better. Obviously, a tough place to go, notoriously tough. I thought the game itself lacked quality at times, especially in the first half from both teams. I thought Rangers were sloppy at times in that first half, but overall they created so many chances. I mean, the game should have been out of sight. I mean, it should have, without exaggerating, I mean, it should have been a 4-0, 5-0 finish if Rangers had taken their chances. So overall, you need to be, if you're Philip Clement, you need to be pleased with that. Obviously, at the back of his mind, he'll be concerned about not taking those opportunities in front of goal and the whole kind of centre-forward issue, which is the kind of big picture here. But listen, when you go to Tynecastle, it's just about winning. Tynecastle away in a midweek. We've grown up watching Rangers teams going there, Celtic teams. It's all about getting the results. So it didn't really matter how they played. They just have to get 3 points. And they did that fairly comfortably.
Yeah. You say it's a tricky venue, but I mean, it's an incredible stat when you look. The Hearts manager, Stephen Naismith, was a player. I mean, I remember Hearts actually beat Rangers twice in succession. And it's unbelievable when you think that Daniel Stendel at Hearts had... there was very little to shout about during his time at Hearts. And he beat Steven Gerrard Rangers twice in fairly quick succession in the league and the Scottish Cup. That was the last time they beat Rangers.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've had so many good results there, but it's just an automatic thing that the ones you remember are probably the bad ones. I mean, off the top of my head, I remember Walter Smith playing Amdi Faye at Tynecastle and losing.
Yeah.
Remember Mark Warburton throwing Matt Crooks into midfield and losing
4-1 at home. It was a 4-1.
You just think. Listen, as a hard, it's normally a hard place to go. I know the results have been good. I mean, Michael Beale's Rangers team went there last season and wiped the floor with Hearts and put in one of their best performances of the campaign. So. No, the record's pretty decent, but it's potentially a place where you can slip up.
Yeah.
So you're always a bit wary. Hearts are still in third spot in the league. So I mean they're invariably up there. And it can be a problematic fixture for you. But listen, after a sticky start, I thought Rangers handled it pretty well.
I thought John Lundstrom was excellent in the game. Kind of totally dominated play for Rangers. It was obviously a blow when Tom Lawrence went off injured early doors, but I thought Lundstrom really kind of stepped up. And I think he has done, you know, for most of this season, John Lundstrom. He gets a bit of stick, but he's always there. I've always said I think he's the one guy who gives Rangers a bit of drive and a bit of kind of hunger for midfield. I think a few of them lack in there. So I thought he was excellent and was kind of pivotal to the win. As I say, Clement knows there are issues there that have to be dealt with. I don't think the level of performance is there on a kind of consistent basis yet to make him really happy. But in terms of the actual result, they had to go there and win. And as I say, they did it fairly comfortably.
So you talk.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Talk about John Lundstrom, what about Jose Cifuentes? There seems to be a bit of... Now, I know he's been sort of criticised for recent performances. When I look and listen to comments last night, seems to be very, very much split, although the majority seem to say he was impressive. So I said this to you before with some players, you know, particularly Lammers, I think, after one game, sometimes people see what they want to see in situations. It's like they've written them off. But is that unfair last night?
I thought he looked better last night, Gav, once he'd kind of played himself into the game. I think Cifuentes has struggled to... I know it sounds like it's a bit of a cliche with players coming in from abroad, but I think he's struggled to adapt to the pace of Scottish football, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. He's come through the MLS, which is a far slower pace. There's no getting away from that. Now, you would have hoped that he'd have adapted quicker than he has done, but I think he struggled with that. And even when he came on last night,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures. Like, I mean, he wasn't even ready to come off the bench.
That was ridiculous.
I mean, it was an early change. He's not getting his top on. He's got to get a chain off. I mean, the first couple of passes that he had, I'm watching it thinking he's still sleeping here. I mean, he's still sitting on the bench. And I've thought that about him a few times. You know, he gets caught in possession too often. He kind of lacks that wee bit of urgency. But what I'll say from him is, once he got into the game, once he got up to the speed of the game, I actually thought he was pretty decent. And I thought he was good. I thought he was good second half, both at breaking up Hearts play and also doing the simple things and getting Rangers moving again. Listen, overall, with Cifuentes, it's a concern, along with, let's be honest, most of the summer recruitment, because I mean, I was in Hoffenheim in pre-season the day Michael Beale spoke to us about getting Cifuentes in, and I mean, I'll just never forget the phrase he used, saying that this guy will take us to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, it was it was a bit of pressure he put on himself and on the boy, but you did think, wow, this guy must be something else. But unfortunately, like a lot of the Beale summer signings, it just hasn't lived up to expectations as yet. There's still time for Cifuentes. He's at a good age. He's an international player, so there's a player in there. Ecuador have got a decent side, but I just think he struggled initially to adapt to Scottish football. I mean, Clement will hope that he can help him with that and improve him and develop him. But right now, he's not really living up to the hype that Beale gave him, that's for sure.
No, and as we say, we know so many of the summer signings just haven't worked. Butland is the one who, right from the off, has. And Seema, the other one, 12 goals, C-Mart. So, and I see a talk from a few pundits talking about maybe playing him through the middle. I mean, he's scored as many goals as Dessers and Danilo combined now with 12, and that's coming from a wider area. But and there's talk this week of a permanent move. I mean, is that just a no-brainer now?
It's a no-brainer if they can do it. Yeah, my fear would be that they get that Rangers get priced out because Brighton signed them for decent money and obviously had high hopes for them. Now, you know what Brighton's recruitment is like. They normally get guys like Seaman. They'll send them out on loan, which they did with him, and then they'll bring him back and hopefully hits the ground running for them. You've seen it with so many players at Brighton. Their record in the transfer market's outstanding. We all know that. So they'll probably still believe that Seema could give them something. But if they don't, and they've accepted that he's probably one that hasn't worked for them and he has to move on, I just think, A, they'll be looking for decent dough for him. And also, with his form at Rangers, there'll be other clubs in for him. No, after what he did in Prague, getting that move to Brighton, people will be aware of him, and now that he's kind of back and for him again, fit and firing for Rangers, I just think there'll be a lot of competition. Now, I'm not sure whether Rangers have got any sort of deal with Brighton. I know they've got an excellent contact there, obviously, in Davy Weir.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Well, I think we know there's no option to buy. That certainly wasn't. Yeah. Well, certainly nothing written into the deal, but that's not to say there's maybe some sort of, maybe a verbal
gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been excellent for them. And what I love about him, I was texting a couple of pals last night, and you compare him to Ryan Kent, who obviously was the guy on the playing left side of that attack before Seema, and technically, pure technical ability, Ryan Kent is way above Abdullah Seema. Do you know what I mean? In terms of skill and first touch, close control, dribbling ability. I mean, Kent's way ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, in terms of his numbers and in terms of that hunger for goals coming in off the side, Seema's miles ahead of him. How many times did we speak about Ryan Kent's numbers in terms of goals and assists? How many times would balls come in for the right hand side and drift over to the left, and Ryan Kent's held himself back outside the box because it's just not his natural game or his natural instinct to attack the back post, and he just didn't have that natural appetite for goals. I think Seema's got that in abundance, and it's invaluable. Last season when we were talking about Ryan Kent, we compared them to the likes of Abada and Jota at Celtic, who were getting on the score sheet regularly, particularly Abada at one stage. But finally, Rangers look as if they've actually got somebody in that wide area that can come up with big numbers. He's so quick and he can finish. I mean, he still missed a couple of chances last night, but he took his goal well. Followed up for Sunday, as you're saying, 12 goals already.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I think Ryan Kent would have been lucky to have 12 goals in three seasons at Rangers. So from that point of view, he's a totally different type of player, but he is what Rangers needed, and he's been an excellent signing. And it must be frustrating for punters because we're talking about the recruitment drive in the summer, and if you take Butland out of the equation, Seema's been the best signing, but he's the guy that they've no got permanently. Yeah. And they're going to have a fight in their hands to try and get him. And just on Butland, just to follow up what you said, I just think Jack Butland's been phenomenal for Rangers this season. I mean, I was actually thinking last night, and I know it was only a couple of fairly routine saves last night.
Yeah.
Couple of balls that he came out for, but I just think he's barely put a foot wrong in terms of his distribution and his actual goalkeeping. And it did make me think last night, there's a long way to go in the season, but as it stands now, I would have Jack Butland as a player of the year contender. certainly for Rangers, he's been Rangers' best player by street. But I think if he keeps going the way he's going, irrespective of what happens, probably in the title race, and I think he'll be in the conversation for player of the year at the end of the season if he keeps this up.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, when you talk about missed chances, and Philip Clement said after the game, have to be more ruthless. I mean, those two misses from Danilo were unbelievable. So, but I mean, there was a string of missed chances, but those two Danilo ones in particular, is a striker needed in January?
I think they have to, Gav. I mean, numbers-wise, probably not, because they've got Danilo, Dessers and Roof, you know, in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they've obviously got Sima there who can play through the middle. But when you look at the goal return they're getting for those guys, and you look at the fitness of Kemar Roof, if Rangers are going to be serious title contenders between January and May, they need a guy that can go and get them, you know, 15 goals in that space of time. And I don't think any of those three are going to provide that. You listen, Danilo, I've said this before, I like his attitude, I like his work rate. I think he's a team player. I think if you're going to be a pressing team, he's a good guy to have. I think his build-up play, his kind of link-up play is decent without being outstanding. But is he a natural-born goal scorer? No. And last night, told you that beyond any doubt, because a natural finisher,
yeah.
No, a Chris Boyd, an Ali McCoist, whoever you want to say, they just took their chances away first time without even thinking about it. And listen, you might say, oh, Chris Boyd, Ali McCoist, you know, kind of legends of the club, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I've spent $6 million on this guy, and he doesn't look like a natural goal scorer. As I say, he's got a lot of attributes.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a good guy to have in the dressing room, but those two chances have to be gobbled up with minimum fuss. And the fact that he decides to take a touch with both of them, it basically costs him the two goals taking his touch. It just strikes me as a guy who A, isn't exactly filled with confidence at the moment, but B, just isn't a natural finisher. And listen, those guys are hard to... Those natural goal scorers are hard to come by. But Clement's going to need to rectify that. And I also think putting Roof on, no, we know Roof's trying to come back to fitness. I think the fact he put Roof on last night in place of Danilo and a head of Dessers tells you that the manager is kind of scratching his head thinking, I just need to try different things here and hope I get a striker that suddenly starts scoring goals. It's a real problem for them.
So here's the next one that you missed from that list, McCoist, Boyd. What about Morelos, relegated last night with Santos? I see that's got people talking. I mean, a simple yes or no. Would you take Morelos in January if he was available?
No.
No? Even with all those chances that Danilo's missing and...
Did you watch Alfredo Morelos at Rangers for the last 18 months?
I know, but look, have you seen the pictures of him now? He's lost a ton of weight.
Oh, right, I see. Right, he
was actually on the bench for Santos. I don't know if you...
He's hardly kicked a ball. I think I seen a start this morning. He's played like 7-8 minutes in total since he went there.
If he came back leaner and hungry and said all was forgiven... You know, and you can get Morelos back in his prime, and he's a free agent. You know, no. You wouldn't take a punt.
No, having it. No, not having it.
Even over a £6 million Danilo and a £4 million Dessers, no.
Not having it.
Okay.
No, I just think listen, aside from anything else, it would be a backward step getting back to a guy that's been there for 5 years and then left for a season. I go back to it. Listen, I understand the sentiment. I understand that there's a generation of Rangers fans who treat Alfredo Morelos like a hero for what he did. And of course, he had two or three seasons where he was excellent, particularly in Europe. You know, the club's all-time European top scorer. There's no one can ever take that away from him. But I think back to the, and I think a lot of people are forgetting those last 18 months to 2 years that Morelos had at Rangers, where he was, listen, I can't beat about the bush, he was awful, absolutely awful as a centre-forward. Now, people say they're mitigating circumstances, or there's reasons for that, fitness, etc., contract running out, whatever. It doesn't matter. As I say, I understand people getting kind of starry-eyed about it, but I'm just not having it. I think Rangers need to look elsewhere. As I say, these guys are hard to find. You know, they picked up Morelos for $1 million and it was an unbelievable signing over time. Flip side, as I say, they've spent... how much have they spent in Dessers, Danilo and Lammers? Oh. You could be talking $10 million maybe in transfer fees, minimum.
Yeah. I think the overall spend in the summer was 21, wasn't it? That's what it said in the accounts. Yeah. I'm sure it was Michael Beale was back to the tune of 21 million in the summer. And to be fair, I was at the AGM on Tuesday, Scott, and the chairman, John Bennett, did say that the recruitment was absolutely key and that was even why it took possibly so long to find a replacement for Ross Wilson. They've brought in Niels Koppen from PSG, and it was about getting the role had to be really specific on recruitment, not just like a sporting director where, you know, the other sort of responsibilities. It's about recruitment and getting that right, because it's an area where it's just not worked.
Yeah, you say that as if John Bennett's telling us something that we don't know. recruitment's been a pretty big thing in football for the last wee while. Listen, time will tell about the Belgian guy coming in. Of course, it's a crucial part of any football club now. I mean, we spoke about Brighton earlier on. Look at what they've done. Look at their motto. A shining example for everybody on how to do it and how to do it right. This guy coming in, as I say, like everything in that kind of department, the proof will be in the pudding. Am I comfortable with Rangers having a Belgian manager, a Belgian head of recruitment, a Belgian academy director? I'm not sure. I think you're going down a road there where if it doesn't work out, you're leaving yourself with a lot of problems. But they clearly believe in Niels Koppen. Yeah, it's coming in.
Yeah.
They clearly believe in him. I think his previous clubs, his record's pretty decent, especially at PSV. But circumstances are different. Rangers, we keep saying it. It's a pretty unique experience coming into Glasgow, into one of the two big clubs. So there's real pressure there to get it right. The encouraging thing for John Bennett and the AGM is that, no, for fans, is that he's saying, and you would hope he sticks to his word, that Clement will be backed in January. And I think that was the fear for a lot of supporters, that after the kind of summer splurge on transfers, you know, that they might struggle in January and there would need to be kind of serious wheeling and dealing. But by the sounds of it, you know, they're going to go again and give the manager, you know, what he wants and as much as they possibly can. And I think that will be encouraging because Clement will need some of his own players in. I mean, he's no daft. We're talking up a couple of results, you know, the last two results. But as I say, I still don't think performances are brilliant. he'll know what he needs. He's already spoke, I think he said two or three times now, that the balance of the squad isn't right, and he's got to address that. So I think he'll know exactly what he wants. He'll also have decided which players aren't for him, and that'll be a big job for the club to try and move guys on that he doesn't see as part of the kind of future plan. So it sounds crazy that we're talking about this again after the summer when we spoke about the overhaul and about how Michael Beale was going to reshape the squad and revitalise it. And you saw all the new players coming in. You thought, right, this is it. No, they've had the change. It's almost like a kind of new era. And yet here we are in January, basically saying that the majority of those signings, probably aren't going to cut it and need shipped out, and the new manager will need to get some of his own guys in. And that's a sad indictment of what went on in the summer. It doesn't look great for Michael Beale or the board in terms of how they went about it, but that's where they are at the moment.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Were those John Bennett comments on the transfer business more encouraging than his comments on the club's commitment to net zero and climate change? It was pretty bonkers, Scott, the AGM. Anyway, okay, just to wrap up, Dundee on Saturday, it's a big spell, 3 games in 10 days, Dundee, Betis, that last Europa League group game, and obviously the cup final, but let's just look short term just now. So Dundee on Saturday, chance with Celtic playing away to Kilmarnock on Sunday to close the gap to 5, maybe put a wee bit of pressure on. A win's just a must, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It's always the same when you're playing on Saturday and Celtic go away on Sunday. For as long as I can remember, that's been the kind of situation. And you've got to try and take advantage. You need to try and get anything you can. In terms of kind of psychological, those kind of mind games, if you like, at the top of the league. Dundee at home, it's a must win. Listen, Dundee apart from getting absolutely scudded off Rangers at Dens Park, Dundee had a brilliant season, probably surpassed certainly my expectations. Tony Docket, he's done a brilliant job so far. So it won't be easy for Rangers, but you've got to think after off the back of the last two performances, spoke about Seema's goals and the kind of form he's in. They just need to win. Get the 3 points, as you say, put a wee bit of pressure on Celtic going to Rugby Park, knowing you've still got that game in hand. Mm-hmm. And they just need to hope Celtic slip up. As you say, massive week for them, and they've got to kick it off pretty confidently by beating Dundee.
Great. Okay, Scott, I won't keep you any longer. Thanks a lot for your time and your insight, as always.
Cheers, Gav.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you.
Top man. Cheers.
Bye.